All right, okay. So Nefesh HaChaim was discussing the two directions that the Kruvim possibly face, because the Gemara in Baba Basra asked a contradiction to two psukim. Were the Kruvim facing the walls of the Beis HaMikdash? Were they facing each other? One opinion of the Gemara was the Kam Bizman Shalosim Ritzano Shalmakum, Kam Bizman Shalosim Ritzano Shalmakum. It depends if we're following the will of Hashem or not, and the Kruvim reflect that relationship. The other opinion is that no, that they were facing diagonal the whole time. And Reb Chaim Voloshin was discussing what is the significance of facing diagonal, and he connected this to the Machlokes in Rishon BaYochanan and Bishmuel about how a person should integrate or how should he balance working versus learning. Rishon BaYochanan says if a person is Oisim Ritzono Shel Makom, he would never have to work. If he's Ein Oisim Ritzono Shel Makom, then we have the Pasuk V'asavta Digonecha, that he'll have to go out to work. Rabbi Shmuel held that the person should integrate the two, and Hanig Bohem Midas Derech Eretz, and we discussed the parameters of that issue. But the Rabbi Chaim Volozhiner suggests that that's the reflecting the two positions in Baba Basra, which were the direction with the Kruvim facing. If they were facing either towards each other, away from each other, the two extremes, that's Rishon BaYochai. If they were facing diagonal, so then that perhaps reflects the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. However, then he continues that in the first Beis HaMikdash, everyone seems to agree that they were facing, in the Mishkan, and the Aron of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were clear in the Beis HaMikdash of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were clearly facing, in the Mishkan of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were clearly facing either towards each other or away from each other. And it's only in the Beis HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech that there we have a discussion, perhaps they were facing diagonally the whole time. So he suggests, because when Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar, they were Oichle Hamon, no one was working, right? So there was either Oisim Ritzono Shel Makom or Ein Oisim Ritzono Shel Makom. There was no necessity necessarily to integrate the two to come to a balanced approach between working and learning. So there was no, no one held that at that time the Kruvim were facing diagonally, representing the integrated, synthesized position of Rabbi Yishmael. There was no such position at that time. When did it become plausible? Was only after the Beis HaMikdash was built. We entered into Eretz Yisrael. We now had the obligation of working the land. So now, perhaps it makes sense for the Kruvim to be facing diagonally. But then he gets to his real point, which is, yes, one of the Kruvim should have been facing diagonally to represent the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael that we should do synthesis between working and learning, integration. We mentioned that even when a person is working, he should really be learning, meaning he, not physically, if not literally, but then figuratively. It should all be for the sake of Avodas Hashem. But at the same time, one of the Kruvim was facing diagonally to represent this integrated approach. Why did the other one of the Kruvim, which represents the other part of this relationship, not only Klal Yisrael but HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why is that one facing diagonally? You know, why did they have to be symmetrical? Maybe one could be facing diagonally and the other one would always be facing the other. You know, the other one would always be facing forward, would always be facing the other Kruv. So Klal Yisrael should have been facing diagonally and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always be facing towards them. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu facing diagonally as well? So he explains that it's because, again, this yesod that he was developing, that we have so much, capabilities through our own actions that we are endowed with by the Ribbono Shel Olam, by virtue of the fact that we're created b'tzelem Elokim. And one of them is that we can determine the terms of our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem Tzilcha, Yad Minech. He's like our shadow on the side of us, not only in terms of that he protects us, but also, the way we move, the way we conduct ourselves, the way we trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond in kind. So that's why if we're facing diagonally, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is also, as well, we determine, the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu interacts with us. And he continues that this is really the basis for what took place at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf, for Klal Yisrael davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to Moshe Rabbeinu, Ma tetzak elai, why are you davening to me? Daber b'nei Yisrael v'yiso. Go on, meaning continue on. Why did he tell them to stop davening and to just move on, on their way out of Mitzrayim? So Rav Chaim Voloshin here is hinting to the fact that it's because davening is not going to determine the terms of or the way that the Klal Yisrael will interact with you. But we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for help. Here, it's not a matter of help. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, if you want me to help you, demonstrate a midah of bitachon in me, meaning show me that you are interacting with me in this kind of a fashion, and with this kind of mindset, with this kind of attitude, and level of commitment to bitachon and trusting in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will respond with that amount of salvation. But until a person demonstrates that, that kind of interaction with the Kaddish Baruch Hu, Kaddish Baruch Hu won't respond, he can't respond just because, we're davening to him, without demonstrating that kind of trust in the Kaddish Baruch Hu. So the way to generate the Yeshua, the way to generate the Hatzalah was through demonstrating the trust itself. It was a self-fulfilling prophecy. because we are able, through our actions, to determine the way that we interact with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. And this, you know, gave to me a tremendous amount of background and context for a comment of the Beis HaLevi that I've known for a long, long time. I wrote an article about it in journals, but the Beis HaLevi is, you have to know this Beis HaLevi. You cannot leave Yeshiva without knowing this Beis HaLevi. There are too many. This is just your Nama Aretz if you don't know this Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi in Parshas Mikhei says the following. Yosef, of course, was in the base. Hasar was in jail, and he asked the Sarah Mashm and Sarah Oifen to remember him after he interpreted the dreams correctly. So he says to them twice, though, his kartani, his kartani. And because he asked them twice, Rabbi said, we know Rashi tells us in Chumash, at the end of Parshas Vayesh, the beginning of Parshas Mikhei, said he was punished, he had to stay in the base Hasar for 2 extra years because he asked twice. He should have only asked once. What do you mean asked twice? That's too much hashtadlus? To ask him, remember me twice, to give out 2 business cards, that's too much hashtadlus? Why is that too much hashtadlus? Well, he was asking him to remember him twice. How could it be that that's too much hashtadlus? So the Chazon Ish has a famous explanation, his little sefer, Emunah Bitachon, which is really, really important as well. Chazon Ish says, because the second time asking the Sarah Mashm and Sarah Oifen to remember him was gratuitous, was useless. Yes, hishtadlus is important, but don't do so out of a sense of helplessness. A person should never feel helpless when he has the Ribbono Shel Olam in his corner. So to ask, remember me. Oh, and then he's grabbing his straws. Remember me again. That's silly. A lot of times people get caught in difficult situations and they just start grasping at straws. Every skula they ever heard of, every makubo, every this, every that, they start running to every little thing they can possibly get their hands on because they don't know what else to do. And when people are desperate, they do desperate things. That the Chazon Ish says that is a lack of bitachon. A person trusts in the Ribbono Shel Olam, even if he's in a difficult situation, even when it seems like all is lost, he always has to trust in the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Don't start doing desperate measures when a person is in a desperate situation. So Yosef acted improperly because he did something that was out of desperation. The Beis HaLevi doesn't say that. The Beis HaLevi says no, it's because Yosef on his level, this was a chisaron of hishtadlus. And the amount of hishtadlus that a person needs is in direct relationship with the amount of bitachon that he has. So for you or I to give out 2 business cards would be totally appropriate. For Yosef to start sending out cold calls, you know, or to make 2 cold calls, or to give out 2 business cards, that was too much already. No, you don't have to do that. That's how he resolves the contradiction. On the one hand, Yosef is punished for lacking in bitachon that he had to stay an extra 2 years in jail. However, at the same time, the Medrash comments on the pasuk in Tehillim, "Ashrei hagever shesam Hashem b'vtochai." Great is the mighty one who places in Kadosh Baruch Hu his trust. Who is that? Zeh Yosef. How can it be Yosef? Yosef is the one who lacks bitachon. How can it be he's the Ashrei hagever shesam Hashem b'vtochai? The Beis HaLevi says, no, that's exactly the point. Because Yosef was on such a high madrego bitachon, this was too much hishtadlus for him. See, the amount of hishtadlus that a person needs, you know, there's a scale. The amount of hishtadlus that you need depends on how much bitachon you have. So that's the aside of the Beis HaLevi. It is mamish makubo. It is echoed in many other sources. The aside of the Beis HaLevi is the amount of hishtadlus you need depends on how much bitachon you have. If you have more bitachon, you could need less hishtadlus. That's why some of the Balei Musar said, I bought a lottery ticket. That was my hishtadlus, and that's enough for me. Because there was they quote like that from one of the from Zundel of Saland. So that was considered enough hishtadlus. There are many who don't like that sounds ridiculous, you know. But okay, where are the limits of this are? Meaning, how much hishtadlus can bitachon eclipse? Meaning, can it be that I have so much bitachon I don't need any hishtadlus at all? That's already another discussion. But this relationship between the amount of bitachon that I have determines the amount of hishtadlus that I need is clearly accepted. That's the yisod of the Beis HaLevi. But why? Why should that be the case? So, Chavra, I tell you, the answer is found earlier than the Beis HaLevi, already right here in the Nefesh HaChaim. He gives us the yisod. The yisod is, the secret is, the foundational principle is because we determine our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. So if we have bitachon, Kadosh Baruch Hu responds that we, you know, and will take care of us to a greater degree. The less bitachon that we have, the more hishtadlus we need. Because we determine our own reality in terms of this relationship between bitachon and hishtadlus. So that's why Kadosh Baruch Hu had to tell Klai, so no, you guys gotta go, you want to be saved, demonstrate that bitachon, and then I can respond in kind with that amount of Yeshua, with that amount of intervention. But without you demonstrating that, without you setting the terms of the relationship, because Baruch Hu doesn't do that for us. So in Perek Yud and Perek Yud Aleph, he's going to discuss in that sense, in this sense, because we can determine our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam, in a certain sense, we're greater than the Malachim. Of course, the Malachim are superior to us in terms of their connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu inherently. They exist only at the will of the Ribbono Shel Olam, but perhaps we have a certain edge over the Malachim in terms of that we can actually set the terms of our relationship with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We're going to have to get into that. Okay, Chavra.